Today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for the very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Lord, we just pray for Ian now. We just thank you for the words you've put on his heart, for the preparation that's gone in. Lord, we just pray that you will pour out grace abundantly through Ian's words, and that our hearts and minds will be open to receive the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, just open our hearts now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Robert, for doing the reading. And thank you to our band, too. What a superb band. Well done. Brilliant. Great. Thank you for a cast of thousands today. Yes, I think Andrew said it would be good if folk were able to sort of help in practical ways. Wendy and I today are on the knobs and the buttons at the back. So we're doing the backstage stuff. So thank you to all you guys down the front here. This week we're going to start on St. Paul's two letters to Timothy. And we're going to go through them in the next month or two. Paul met Timothy in a city called Lystra in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Lystra's sort of in the middle of modern-day Turkey now. And this chap, Timothy, he had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. So he was kind of mixed race, if you like. But then, when Paul preached and told him the good news about Jesus, Timothy became a Christian believer. And so Paul calls Timothy my true son in the faith. And the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul was in prison at the time, so he was writing to Timothy to encourage him. We call those the pastoral letters, along with one or two others that Paul wrote to individual people. We've been looking at Colossians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to a whole church congregation, like us here. But there are one or two that Paul wrote to individual people, and Timothy is one of those, written to pastors, by and large, people in charge of a church, but written to them personally. So there's some personal touches, there's also advice on how to lead the church, what's important, and so on. And in our reading, Paul starts with thanks to Jesus. Maybe we could put that reading up again, Tim, could we? So that's 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 17, that one. Paul starts with thanks to Jesus. It's a good way to begin a prayer or a letter. Sometimes we distinguish two sorts of thanks, really. Adoration, which is worshipping God and thanking God for who he is, his nature and character, his being and so on. Sometimes we distinguish that from thanksgiving, which is thanking God for what he's done, his provision, what he gives us, his acts, what he does in the world and so on. Perhaps even answers to our prayers. If he's answered our prayers, we can thank him for those things. But adoration and thanksgiving are both of them positive ways to begin a prayer or a letter, indeed, to somebody else. Thanking God for this person. With the added benefit, they focus our gaze on God rather than on our own problems and the world around us. Very good principle of beginning a prayer or a letter. And you may have noticed, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus where usually we would say Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a mistake. It's not a misprint. Paul says it four times, actually, in this little reading that we had. Jesus, of course, is his name given by an angel to Mary. Christ is not his surname. Christ is like a title. The Hebrew equivalent is Messiah. It means something like anointed one or God's chosen one, or perhaps even king. So you can either say King Jesus or Jesus the King. It makes no difference. You can say it either way round. And Paul remembers his past as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. He admits it. He went round chasing after Christians and locking them up and even killing them. But, says Paul, God showed mercy. Jesus appointed Paul to his service. And Jesus gave Paul the strength to go round travelling and preaching. And that's almost a definition of grace. To put it bluntly, I was horrible, but God was good to me. And that's what we're learning about on Tuesday evenings. About God's blessing, but crucially, God's undeserved blessing. This was not something that was expected. People sometimes say that grace, G-R-A-C-E, stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. So you get the feeling there that we are getting something that's undeserved. Jesus did the work, we get the blessing. It's not because of me. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I deserve punishment from God. Paul says I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. If you ask God to give us what we deserve, then it's probably not good news. But because of Jesus, because Jesus gave his life on the cross, therefore God blesses me. God has mercy on me. So we've only had one of those grace course sessions already. You haven't missed much. If you'd like to come along and join us on Tuesday evenings here, 7:30 coffee, 7:45 start, 9:15 finish, then you will enjoy that course greatly, I'm sure. How to receive blessing, learning about grace, undeserved blessing from God. So verse 14 at the bottom of that page there, the grace of our Lord was poured out for me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. I love that word abundantly as well, because it describes the way that God gives, God's style, his character, the way that he blesses with overflowing generosity. He's not a penny pincher, our God. He's not careful about how much he gives out. You can see, perhaps those of you who went riding and striding yesterday, it's a glorious time of year, isn't it? You can see all the gorgeous flowers and fruit and everything that God pours out upon us. Part of God's character is that he's abundant and generous. Pause for a moment and think, how has God blessed you? How have you received God's abundance, God's generosity? And then maybe think, well, how can I pass that on? How can I be like our God this week? Just take a moment and think about that. And then Paul goes on and says, here is a trustworthy saying in verse 15. Paul is about to give us a little gem, and he seems to have made a collection of these trustworthy sayings. There are five of them through the pastoral letters. It's almost, they're like little proverbs that you could write out or print out and put up around your house on the fridge door or whatever. And Paul dots them through the pastoral letters. So Tim, perhaps you can put up 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, a little bit later on in this epistle. Here is a trustworthy saying: if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer or a bishop, he desires a noble task. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, and Timothy was going to be appointed the bishop of the churches around the Ephesus area. So Paul's giving him a little sort of proverb, a trustworthy saying. The next one, 1 Timothy 4:9, he says, we've put our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. This is a trustworthy saying. We've put our hope in the living God, who's the saviour of all men. Here's a third one from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's a trustworthy saying: if we died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. That's a bit challenging, isn't it? If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. And then lastly, there's one in Titus chapter 3, verse 3. And Paul says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, and so on. And I think there's even a second screen, isn't there? Flip over, would you, Tim? Whom he poured out on us. Here's a trustworthy saying. Okay. And then, of course, this one, which is up on the screen now, that came in our reading. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So you get the point. They're like little mini creeds, aren't they? Little statements. And I think a good verse to memorise as well. Perhaps if we can have 1 Timothy 1:15 back up again. I think this is a good verse to memorise. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There it is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Should we say that together? Why not? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Why did Jesus come from heaven? Was it to tick us off for bad behaviour? No, it wasn't. Was it to set us a good example of how to live well? No, actually, that wasn't the reason. Was it to read us a lecture? No, it wasn't. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. And Paul adds on the end, of whom I am the worst. And that's one of his themes here. If I wanted to give a title to what I'm saying today, it would be the grace of God to the worst of sinners. And don't forget, Paul's task here is to train Timothy, a young man, to train him to be a church leader. So you might expect Paul to want to look good in Timothy's eyes. You might expect Paul to defend himself, to justify himself, to explain to Timothy how to be a good church leader. But one of the characteristics Paul's trying to teach Timothy is actually humility. Humility is one of the characteristics of Jesus and of Christians. John the Baptist put it like this: when he saw Jesus coming towards him, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. True humility is a characteristic of Christians. C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, he said this: true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. In other words, it's not about poor self-image. It's not about low self-worth. It's thinking of God more than yourself. It's the accurately correct starting point for worship, a good relationship with God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am a sinner. Each of us is a sinner. And so my focus, says Paul, is not on me, but it's on God in Christ. And Paul even explains why being the worst of sinners is good for a Christian, because it shows Jesus more clearly. Today, of course, is a glorious sunny day, and there's light pouring in, and it actually makes it harder to see the words on the screen when the light is pouring in, doesn't it? But when it's dark outside, when the sunshine dims and darkens, then you can see the words on the screen much better. Paul says it's like that. If I acknowledge my sin, then it shows Jesus more clearly. You can see his light shining through. So do you remember that verse again? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's say that one more time. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. So as you're going home, maybe just remember that verse. Recite it to yourself. It's a good one to remember, isn't it? This is a trustworthy saying, says Paul. And actually the closing verse of our Bible passage today, the next one, is not a bad one to conclude any Christian talk. Paul says, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you remember he started his letter with adoration, thanksgiving to God, worship of God, and now he finishes it that way as well, acknowledging God's power and honour and glory. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's theme is the grace of God to the worst of sinners.
I think it was last Sunday morning before the service started. We were praying in the kitchen through there, and the word that came to Wendy was abundance. And there's so much abundance of God's goodness to us that we just don't deserve. And I just would just ask you just to reflect for a few minutes the abundance that God has given us, the blessings, and the how much more that is out there. He just wants us to open our hands and just take in. Lord, I just pray that our hands will be open to receive what you have to give, and to our hands will then just lift and rise and praise you and give you honour for it all, Lord, because you are a great God, you're so full of grace, and you want to bless and encourage us, and for us to encourage and bless others. Amen.
That verse about Jesus Christ's job is just to save sinners, basically. Really spoke to me probably a couple of years ago when I was having trouble with my father and wanted to see him saved. And sort of, I felt all the pressure of sort of, I need to do something about this. I need to go and talk to him, tell him the way of salvation, the four spiritual laws that we might be, you know, get it all right. And it really sort of released me, because it made me realise it's Jesus' job is to save sinners, not our job. It's his job. And I think that verse is quite important, because we just need to be released from the burden of trying to do God's work ourselves. God wants us to partner with him, but it's ultimately his job, and we just work with him. And I found that very liberating. And so then I could go along, talk to my father, and just do whatever God gave me to say, knowing that he was in control. And I had a great sense of peace about the whole thing. And I could see how God had prepared the way before me, the way after me. He'd give me what to say at the time, given the right situation and environment. Because I wanted to go and talk to my father in peace and solitude, and it's nothing like that where he was. But on that one and only occasion, he was on his own, No one was in the room, the door was closed, it was peaceful and quiet, and I could do what I had to do. And so I knew God had gone before me. And this verse is on the poster in a church, Baptist church, just near the building I was going into. So that's what really spoke to me, that particular verse. I just want to encourage you to really, basically, trust the Lord Jesus to do the work of his kingdom. He just wants you to work with him. Doesn't expect you to... It's not our job to save people, it's Jesus' job. We just need to do our part in that. If that makes sense.
Thank you, Peter.